good Sunday morning. You're listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? This is Christian Talk Radio, here to challenge the status quo. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. But if you want to see a change, if you want a spiritual revolution, if you need a spiritual renewal, stay with us. We are here to inspire, to inform, and to challenge you to consider what does the Lord say regarding life's issues. Visit our website for information on how you can join us for morning prayer, access previous podcasts of this broadcast, or you can even now access and download this podcast in iTunes. There is also information to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or even sponsor this show. Visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. We would love to hear from you.
This week's question from our listener says, how can a person clear the questions in their mind by meditating on Job, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes? The book of Job is so relatable because we often find ourselves in a good position in God, and then calamity will come upon us unaware. And when it does, we need to take from Job the lesson of how do you respond to difficulty. His first response was a wonderful, godly response. He fell on his face and he worshiped God. Then Job began to arise in his self-righteousness and foolishly charged God. He began to speak against God. He said, I wish I knew where I could find him. I'd order my cause before God. I'd state my complaint, and I know he would defend me. Then God answered Job out of the whirlwind. So we get to see the whole evolution of Job. Initially, which I pray we all do, he fell on his face and worshiped God. But as the trial and the burden became so overwhelming, he began to complain and throw his righteousness in the face of God to say, how could this come upon me? I've done everything I was supposed to do. We have all been guilty of such. We wonder, why does trouble come in my life? I've lived the way that God has told me to live, but the Bible has never said that you would not deal with trouble and calamity. As a matter of fact, the Bible says they that live godly shall suffer persecution. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. The Bible says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try you as though some strange thing has come upon you. So the Bible clearly tells us that we will suffer because of the righteousness that we live in Christ Jesus. And what Job tells us is how to deal with that and what happens when you don't deal with it properly. And lastly, it tells us that nothing just happens in your life, but God preordained and planned it and allowed it. And he didn't allow it without knowing that you would come out victoriously. So those are the lessons that I take from the book of Job. From the book of Proverbs, we just take the wisdom that is left on record and we apply it to our lives. And there are many nuggets of wisdom that are hidden in the book of Proverbs. And ask God to open the eyes of your understanding that you might clearly see and apply the truth of the gospel to your life. And that is how we use the gospel from these books to apply it to effective and victorious living in Christ Jesus. Thank you for your question. Psalms 121 says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen.
From the Message Bible, I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No, my strength comes from God. He who made heaven and earth and mountains, he won't let you stumble. your guardian God won't fall asleep, not on your life. Israel's guardian will never doze or sleep. God's your guardian right at your side to protect you, shielding you from sunstroke, sheltering you from moonstroke. God guards you from every evil. He guards your very life. He guards you when you leave and when you return. He guards you now. He guards you always.
This psalm is so encouraging because it reminds us of the protective covering that God provides for his people. And we just like to spend a few minutes going through the verses of Psalms 121 and talking about all of my help. Sometimes we have to be reminded when we're going through the difficulties of life where our help comes from, what the source of our strength is. All of our help, not some of our help, not most of our help, but all of our help comes from the Lord. This is what they sang, the armies of Israel, as they were traveling on their journeys, on warfare journeys, and they sang this psalm. I like the way it reads in the Message version because it talks about when I look to the mountains or the hills as though my strength comes from the mountains. And it says, no, my strength comes from God. We have to know that even if you lift your eyes up to the hills, up to the clouds, up to the stars, it's not the stars, even though we have stargazers, astronomers, and astrologers. It's not the stars or the heavens that bring you your strength, but it is the God that created the stars and the heavens from whence your help comes from. So the psalmist says, I'm going to lift up my eyes, and when I look to the hills, as great and majestic and mighty as they are, I have to still remember that my help does not come from the hills, but my help comes from the Lord, the same God that made heaven and earth.
I like the part of this Psalms in 121 is titled in the Message version. It says the Pilgrim Song. And if you know of anything about pilgrims, we often say as the pilgrims is the pilgrim's journey that they're traveling through. And when you're traveling, you're going through different situations in different areas that are unknown to you, and you need a guide, and we need a keeper, we need a protector. God is the one that will protect you. I'm not trusting in anyone else. I'm trusting in the Lord. And he makes a declaration. He says, my help cometh from the Lord. It is the Lord that has made the heavens and the earth. This is the God that I depend upon.
And we know that the Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, because it is God that has founded everything that we see. It is God that has commanded the stars and the moon and the universe to be. It is God that called forth everything that we see and that created all of it. And in Psalms 20, verse 7, it says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And if you just brought that down to our common day vernacular, we could say some trust in lotteries and some trust in the dollar bill and some trust in their job and some trust in other flesh and some trust in government. Mm-hmm. But we put our trust in the name of the Lord. That's why when David stood before a mounting Goliath, where all of the host of the army of Israel was cowering in fear, he said, I come in the name of the Lord. You have to know where to put your trust, and you can only know where to put your trust when you know from whence your help comes. When you know that all of your help comes from the Lord, then that is where you will put your trust. I put my trust in the name of the Lord. The Bible says they that trust in the Lord and put their hope in the Lord will never be ashamed.
My Lord. And in Psalms 121, it says, he will not suffer thy foot to be removed or to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. And you know, I think about that oftentimes is when we're going through some certain situations and circumstances, we're afraid that we might make a misstep. But he's saying that he is going to keep you, that he will keep your foot from being moved. In Psalms 94, verse 18, it says, when I thought my foot slipped, Your steadfast love, oh Lord, help me up. And I'm telling you, there are times when you think that you're just about ready to fall. You're in situations where you seem unstable and unsure. But he's saying, even in those things, he said, I will keep your feet from slipping with my steadfast love. When he says steadfast, it means that this is something that is consistent, that he makes sure that he is going to uphold you. And then the other part of that scripture says in verse 18 of Psalms 94, it says, when the cares of my heart are many, it says, your consolation cheer my soul. And I am so glad that when you're in certain situations and you feel like your feet are just about ready to slip, he said, my steadfast love will hold you up. And not only that, he said, but I will provide consolation to cheer your soul.
Amen. And you know that song that I love, that I think Whitney Houston even recorded a version of it, but it says, where do I go when there's nobody else to turn to? And who do I talk to when nobody wants to listen? Who do I lean on when there's no foundation stable? I go to the rock. I know he's able. I go to the rock because he has steadied my foot. And he keeps me from slipping when I would mess up. I think it was David in another psalm. And he said, when I beheld the wealth and the prosperity of the wicked, my foot almost slipped. But then I had to recall to mind the goodness of the Lord. I had to go into the sanctuary and be reminded that God has set the wicked in slippery places and they shall soon be cut off. The Bible says that God keeps us in life in Psalm 66. He keeps us in life and does not allow our feet to slip. It might feel like you're on slippery ground, and it might even feel like the ground underneath you is moving. You just need to remember that you stand upon a solid foundation, a stable rock, and that rock is Jesus. Where do you go when there's nowhere else to turn to? And who do you talk to when no one else will listen? I challenge you to go to the rock because he is able and he will keep your foot from slipping.
The second part of that verse, verse 3, it says, and he that keepeth thee will not slumber. And I am so glad that he doesn't slumber. I can remember times when I was in trouble, and I'm telling you, if it hadn't have been for God, if he hadn't have been one that watched over us, the one that never slumber in sleep, where would I be when Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal and the prophet of Baal didn't show up? He says, what's going on? He said, is he sleeping? Has he gone to the restroom? I'm so glad that God never slumbers nor sleep, that whenever I call upon him, he is right there listening.
And you know, it does. It reminds me likewise of that story with Elijah, because I believe he taunted them and mocked them. And he said, maybe you just need to cry louder. Maybe you, and he did begin to say he might have took a restroom break. He might be asleep. Just call him a little bit louder, because what Elijah knew is that they were calling on a dead God. And what he knew is that he was calling on God who neither slumbers nor sleeps. You have to have that blessed assurance that Jesus neither slumbers nor sleeps, and he is there with you every minute of every day to deliver you, to shield you, to protect you, and to keep you. And that all you need do is call upon the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous can run into it and be safe. He's not like any other kind of God. He doesn't, even though we ascribe unto him anthropomorphic terms as though, so that we can relate to him as though God has eyes and hands and ears like a human being. God is not a human. He is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He's everywhere at the same time, all powerful in every place that he is, neither slumbering nor sleeping, but ever attentive to the cry of his saints.
In verse 4, it says, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And I just want you to take the time when you read this, if you would just replace Israel with your own personal name. You want to make this personable. So if you say, behold, he that keepeth LJ Renee, or he that keepeth Twyla, whatever your name is, insert it right there and says, behold, he that keepeth put your name in there, shall neither slumber nor sleep, meaning that I can call on him any time of the night, meaning that he knows my name. He doesn't have to mix me up with anyone else, because you have taken this verse and you have made it personal.
I am so glad that Jesus is all my help, and all my help comes from the Lord.
My eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help, my help, Luana's help, Twyla's help, my help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth.
I love that song. You know that the psalm is so powerful when the psalmist can take the words directly from the scripture and just sing them back in melody to the Lord. And verse 5 says, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. And there's so many places in the scripture where the Bible talks about the right hand. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, interceding for the saints of God. So many places where we see reference to the right hand. In Psalms 109, it says, for he stands at the right hand of the needy to save him from those who judge his soul. In Psalms 110, it says, the Lord is at your right hand, and he will shatter the kings in the days of his wrath. Numerous times he references the right hand. It's a figure of speech that represents God's ultimate power and authority. It's where the exalted Jesus Christ now sits at the throne of God. It's a symbol of power, a symbol of protection. The Bible says the Lord is the shade upon thy right hand, and he is thy keeper. I thank God that he is my keeper. Some people looking for other folks to keep them, but you just need to rely upon the Lord your God. He will be your keeper, and he will be the shade upon your right hand.
It says the Lord is thy keeper. It says he will take care of his people so that they will not fail or they will not fall. He is a keeper to the people that trust in him against the assault of those of the enemies. It doesn't matter how many times the enemy will try to come upon you or try to assault you. He's saying, I will be your keeper. And you know, when he mentioned the hand of God, also, can you imagine that when the enemy will try to come in like a flood, that God will take his hand and push back the enemy. The Lord will also take his hand and even direct you away from the evil. He said, my hand is always there to lead you, guide you, and to direct you. I'm telling you, when you're talking about God's hand, you're talking about God's power. When you're talking about God's hand, you're talking about God is able to keep you. When you're talking about God's hand, you're talking about God's able to shield you from harm. Oh my God, if we just thank God for him being so powerful and so awesome that he is able to sustain you. Who can stand against our God? And I'm telling you, that's exactly what I think about when I think about him being my keeper. When I think about his hand being upon me, who is able to stand against our God?
Verse 6 says, "The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night." This was the army of Israel as they were traveling and sojourning on their way, and they were having to deal with the elements, the natural elements of the environment. And you know, if you've ever traveled in a desert land, that the sun is brutal and the sun will bear down upon you. Even Jonah, you remember in Jonah, God sent a flower to cover up Jonah for shade, and Jonah was so grateful for the flower and even said when God allowed the flower to die. The sun can be brutal in certain parts of the world because it is so brilliant and so bright. I was just in Denver, and the elevation in Denver, Colorado alone is so high, and the sun is so brilliant. I mean, it's the same sun, but it affects different areas differently because of their proximity to the sun, the closeness to the sun. But what God is saying is that when you're out on your journey, the sun, the brutality of the sun, the heat of the sun, it will not take your strength during the day. And in the night, I will not even allow the moon to harm you. Basically, there is nothing that you will come against, nothing that you will deal with that will harm you. God will protect you and preserve you. God will keep you. God will sustain you. No matter how extreme the conditions of the universe, no matter how extreme the conditions you are exposed to, God will preserve your soul. Sometimes everything around you seems to be like sinking sand, but God will preserve your soul.
Verse 7 says, "The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, and he shall preserve thy soul." And you know what? I am so glad that God preserve means that he will keep you. He will settle you. He will not allow the enemy to come against you, to defeat you.
God gives us repeated assurances to calm our unbelief, to quiet our souls when they are at unrest. And sometimes we need that over and over and over again, but never fear. He will preserve thy soul. He will keep thee in the time of trouble. It is God that sustains you. You've got to know and be assured that the source of your strength and the strength of your life is the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalms 46 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." And then in Hebrews 13, it says, "God said he will never leave you nor forsake you." I mean, Deuteronomy says, "The Lord himself goes before you and he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged." God told Joshua, "Be not afraid. The Lord thy God is with thee." You've got to know that God will preserve your soul. God will keep you and sustain you. God will make it right. And there's nothing in your life that just happens. Everything that comes your way, you've got to know that your steps have been ordered by the Lord, and nothing catches God by surprise. You might be surprised. It might have caught you unaware, but God knew before the very foundations of the earth were laid. God knew what this Sunday would hold for you. He knows what next Wednesday will hold for you. God knows every detail of your life, and he will preserve your soul.
This scripture in verse 8, it says, "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and evermore." And you know, when I look at this verse, my mind goes to Deuteronomy 28, when he talks about how he will bless you. He said, "I will bless you when you go out, and I'll bless you when you come in." He says, "The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They should come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways." It says, "The Lord will command the blessings on you in your barns and all that you undertake." He says, "The Lord will bless you in the land that the Lord, that he has given unto you. When I read this scripture, my mind goes directly to Deuteronomy 28, because it talks about the blessings of the Lord. And afterwards, it talks about the curse of the Lord. And the reason why I'm mentioning this is because these are the things that God would do to you, do for you when you are obedient to him. When you are obedient to the Lord, he says, I'm going to keep you. I'm going to preserve you. He says, I'm going to preserve you when you go out. I oftentimes think about that scripture. When I leave the house, Lord, bless me as I go out and bless me when I come back in. And I even also say it for my family members, because when we go out, we don't know what's going to befall us. We don't know what's going to happen when we go out. But God, wherever I go, bless me, favor me, Lord. And when I come back in, oh God, that I come back in one piece, oh God. And so when I'm looking at this, he's saying that if you are obedient to me, he said, these are the blessings that I'm going to pour upon you. I'm going to bless you when you go out, and I'm going to bless you when you come in. I'm going to preserve your going out, and I'm going to preserve you when you come in. He said, from this time and even forevermore, meaning that if you are obedient to him, he said, from this point on forever, he says, I am going to bless you when you go out. He says, I'm going to keep you when you go out, and I'm going to keep you when you come back in.
Amen. And we know surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Yes.
Because God has promised that his protective covering, God has promised that his shield over our lives would be for the rest of our lives. The Lord is the protector of his people. The Lord is the keeper of his people. The Lord is the shield and the protection for the people of God. We don't have to fear what other men fear. We don't have to tremble and quake at what other men tremble and quake at, because we have the Lord our God on our side.
Yes.
The Lord, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. It is the Lord your God that has kept you, and it is the Lord your God that has sustained you. And may you never give his glory to another. May you never ascribe unto good luck or happenstance or the government or other fleshly men the goodness and the mercy and the worship that belongs to the Lord your God. It is the Lord that has sustained you. It is the Lord that has been your help. When you lift up your eyes to the hills, know that your help does not come from the hills. It does not come from the arm of flesh, from the government. It does not come from your job. It does not come from your spouse. It does not come from your friends. It does not come from your denomination, but all of your help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the one that has promised to neither leave you nor forsake you, the one who neither slumbers nor sleeps, the one who said that he would keep you and that his shade would be upon your right hand. I thank God that he is my keeper. I thank God that he is my deliverer. I thank God that he is my savior, my Lord, my king, and my God. All of my help comes from the Lord.
Oh, Lord, we thank you for being our helper, our keeper, our preserver, Father. We thank you for, Father, defeating our enemies, dear Father. We thank you for keeping our feet from slipping, God. We thank you that, God, that you never slumber, nor do you ever sleep, that whenever we call upon you, that, Father God, you hear our prayer, and the Bible says that you answer our plea. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that we just don't serve any old God, little G God, but we serve the one and true and living God, that one that answer when we call, that one that lifts us up out of darkness and put us in the marvelous light, that one that when we call upon name, it says that you would move heaven and hell, dear Father, to dear Lord, to come to us, God, and we just thank you in the name of Jesus. I pray for each and every person, dear Lord, that is listening to this broadcast, that God, that whatever problems they may find, that Father, they will remember that God, that you hear their prayer and that you would keep them, dear Father, from all trouble, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. So we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
thank you for tuning in. You have been listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? For information on this program, on how you can subscribe to or access previous podcasts of this broadcast, visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. Until next time.
Jesus, I need just a little more Jesus.
I need just a little more.